You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So for those of you who like to play poker and or party with hot chicks, how about models? Models work for you? You like to hang out with models? Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, 101 Poker Club, 9371 Richmond, which is like right here. It's the Texas Beauties Calendar Casting. So all the models who are in the calendar or trying to get in the calendar will all be there to hang out with you. Starts at 6 o'clock. Free food from Mombasa Street Eats. They'll have wine. They'll have all kinds of stuff going on. So if you like to play poker or you like to hang out with models or both, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, 101 Poker Club, 9371 Richmond. Make sure you say hi to Cindy Garcia while you're there. And you get to have a good time hanging out with all the lovely ladies. Maybe playing cards. Definitely eating for free. Probably having a good time with all the adult beverages that go along with such. I know Chewy will be there. That is a lead pipe lock. Now, when it comes to your Houston Rockets, the only thing on the court that I care about is I want them to turn Jalen Green loose. I get the whole, well, you know, we want him to play within our system, this, that. Turn Jalen Green loose. They need to get him out of his funk. They need to get him, you know, some more confidence. Just let him do his thing. And then after he gets going from doing his own thing and he's playing well, then start building him into whatever system you're trying to work. Well, his confidence is up. Because right now his confidence is not up. And for all the, you know, the other, you know, top five picks that were made in the draft, look, Jalen Green should be performing better than he is. Maybe Steven Silas isn't the guy. Maybe KPJ is not the guy. You know, that doesn't mean he can't be a useful player, but maybe he's just, maybe he's not the guy that you need as your a primary guard. You know, today he came off the bench today. You know, as they gave Garrison Matthews a start. Eric Gordon getting the start because they're going to showcase him. Got to get him traded. Get yourself a one for him. But according to Jake Fisher, Bleacher Report, the Rockets looking for a sizable return for Christian Wood. And they should be. There's been some talk about Duncan Robinson being like the key piece for Christian Wood.
Gonna take more than that.
Honestly, I think there should be two number ones in a deal for Christian Wood. Christian Wood greatly outperforming his contract this year. Not to mention, he is, A, for the performance you get, he is underpaid. And B, he's going to be underpaid again next year. So whoever acquires him is going to get a year and a half of play from him at a below market contract. And then they're going to have, essentially, they've got first dibs on signing him because, well, you can extend him as you get through the contract. Christian Wood's a good player. He's not a franchise player. And if you max him out, well, you're not going to win. But for a good team looking for a big who can run the floor, who can finish the rim, who could rebound, well, Christian Wood checks those boxes. If I'm the Rockets, I need at least two firsts. You know, if Eric Gordon's worth a first, and I think Eric Gordon is worth a first, and granted, it's going to be a late first because teams that are going to be looking for Eric Gordon are going to be drafting late in the first round. But that's okay. Because you've already got two ones. You've got your own one, which is going to be really high. And then you have your choice of the Miami one or the Brooklyn one, whichever one is higher. Well, you get that one. Now, I don't know if they're able to amend that so that, let's say, if they were to do a deal with them, I was like, okay, well, now we're definitely going to get your one. Therefore, we also get the Brooklyn one. I don't know if they can do that. But there's no way if I'm the Rockets, I'm not getting at least a one for Eric Gordon and two ones for Christian Wood. I mean, this is a no-brainer. I don't see how that's even a question. You know, and Duncan Robinson, you know, he's kind of fallen off this year a bit. He's struggling this year. Last year, he shot 41% from three. This year, only shooting 37% from three. You know, swing man, you know, plays a two, plays a three, 6'7". Had a hell of a postseason run. Yeah, he's a nice player. He's also in his fourth year, which means that, you know, contract time is coming up. And for Duncan Robinson, if you look at, you know, what his contract is right now. Oh, he's got his extension. He got a 5-year, $90 million extension. If you're the Rockets, do you want a 5-year contract for a guy who's going to be 28? I'd say the answer's no. So maybe it's a 3-year, you know, you got a, was that a player option? No, you got ETO. For 25. So there's three more years on the deal, and then there's an ETO. But you'd have him for 3 years at $17, $18, and $19.5 million at ages 28, 29, and 30, and the top players on your team are 20 years old. Yeah. You know, is that a guy that you figure you can rehab and turn into a first-round pick again? But even with that guy, I got to have two firsts for Christian Wood. I got to have two firsts. Yeah, Duncan Robinson makes the money match. You know, but then Miami's, like, future picks, that gets tricky. Because their first round pick is already on the top 14 protection. And it's, all right, Miami or Brooklyn. Then they've got another one, 2023. It's top 14 protection. So if you get first round picks from Miami, they're going to be a few years out. I'm like 2025, 24, 25. They're going to be a few years out. I don't know that I want to make a trade for Christian Wood and get picks that are that far out. Yeah, I think it picks better, you know, now. So, realistically, still doesn't really work for me. You know, unless the Heat are going to be able to go, you know, to the Heat, then, you know, can they trade Duncan Robinson and go get a pick for this year and redirect that to the Rockets? But I'm trading Christian Wood. I don't want a long-term contract, and I do want near year's picks. I want this year or I want next year. I do not want 3, 4, 5 years out. Not for Christian Wood. You know, you want to give me a first-round pick 5 years out for DJ Augustine, okay. You want to give me a first-round pick 5 years out for Daniel Tice, okay. And by the way, you want to talk about a guy who value increasing. Daniel Tice, you know what? Price from Miles Turner is through the roof. And teams don't want to pay it, which means there's interest in Daniel Tice. Somebody would be probably willing to give you a second-round pick for Daniel Tice. Maybe you get could you possibly get a late first from a team that becomes desperate for a big because they don't want to pay the crazy price for Miles Turner? Maybe. Maybe. We'll find out. I mean, you got a little less than 2 weeks to the deadline. But definitely a one for Gordon. I'd want at least 2 ones for Wood. They don't have to be the same year, obviously. But if they get a one for Gordon and a one for Wood, and 2 ones for Wood, and one of those Wood ones is this year, they've got 4 first-round picks again. At 4 firsts last year, you could have 4 firsts this year before you start getting into, you know, all right, Oklahoma City controls the pick. 8 first-round picks in 2 years. Get some damn talent on this team. You might see them make a decent jump next year because they'd have a little more talent. All right, coming up next, our buddy Dan Law, sports law attorney, breaks down the latest on Deshaun Watson and the insanity that was leaked out by Tony Busby last night. Talk to Dan next.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the HRMPS line, noted sports law attorney for the law firm of Garrix & Garrix in New York City, sports law professor at New York Law, host of the Conduct Detrimental podcast, and friend of the program is our buddy Dan Lust. What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Pat, is this new entrance music for me, Breaking the Law? I'm into it.
Actually, it's been on the last couple of times you've been on.
I'm in the Zen mode. I haven't noticed it.
Oh, yeah. No, we bust out the Judas Priest every time you come on.
I'll take it. I'm into it.
Hey, Dan, let's talk about things going on with one Deshaun Watson, because Tony Busby dropping some dimes to Mark Berman at Fox 26 last night that a witness pleading the fifth in a civil deposition. Dan, what's going on here? Because this whole thing sounds crazy. This is a witness who's supposed to be, what, for which side? Like, this is Tony Busby asking the questions. What exactly happened?
Yeah, so I guess I'll explain a little bit what happened, at least what I can glean from the deposition and maybe some educated guesses, and then we can talk about maybe what I think is the bigger story, the leak, right? So it appears at this deposition, we don't know who this individual is, but at least from the report from Mark Berman, in the Fox affiliate, essentially this person had some involvement in coordinating the massages, at least, you know, again, according to this report. This is what appears to be what they call a non-party deposition, someone that is not actually a party to the civil lawsuit.
Dan, we're getting a lot of feedback on the line here. Andrew's going to call you right back. For some reason, there's a ton of feedback on the line, and we can't hear you. And we want to hear what you have to say. It's important. So we want to hear what Dan has to say. Andrew's going to look to get him back on the line. For some reason, there's a lot of fuzz, a lot of feedback. Modern technology and all does those things. So Andrew's going to get him back on as we're talking about Deshaun Watson. And this leak basically handed from Tony Busby to Mark Berman at Fox 26, which, you know, I want to find out, you know, how legal was this leak? How appropriate? Is this normal? It seems kind of strange that you have an attorney handing out deposition info to the media. And to what end? To what gain or purpose? So we got Dan back on the line. Dan, I apologize. We had so much fuzz we couldn't hear you. And, man, I want to hear what you have to say. So were talking about where we are with this witness.
Yeah, so here's the thing. It's a civil deposition, and I think this line sounds much better. So maybe Busby was tapping us, means he's trying to kick me off here. But, so civil deposition, and according to the report of Mark Berman, this is an individual who appears to be a non-party deposition. So it's not one of the accusers. It's not someone necessarily in Watson's camp. It's someone that's not a direct party to the lawsuit. So this person, according to the report, had helped coordinate some of these massages. So when someone pleads the fifth, they do so against self-incrimination. It's usually something that occurs in a criminal context. And again, you know, just let's keep in mind what Deshaun Watson potentially is facing criminal charges for, and that's this kind of interstate element of bringing individuals across state lines for the purpose of committing some type of improper act. So if this individual, whoever is part of this deposition, was helping to coordinate these acts, maybe she's worried or he's worried, I'm not sure if it's a male or female, being brought into the criminal suit. So put that as it may, that's what I think is this pleading the fifth. I think this person thinks they might get brought in criminally, which, you know, maybe is a story. But, I guess I'll stop there, Pat.
All right, because you're probably leading me right into my next question, which is, Tony Busby just basically, in front of the world, leaked deposition. Is that normal?
Is it normal to leak depositions? Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but it's not really always so clear who it's coming from. But here's the part that I think, from a, legal perspective, sports perspective, kind of a Bush League move. The person is responding, I plead the fifth, to everything. You could ask them, right, and I don't mean to be blasphemous, but like, you know, did you kill John F. Kennedy? Like, I plead the fifth. Oh, my God, you plead the fifth to that question? The person's responding, I plead the fifth to everything. And what people, I think, are unfairly reading into, and again, I just played down the middle with Watson. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not an enemy of his. I'm just pleading the fifth. You know, I'm playing it down the middle. The questions are so inflammatory. The fact that people are reading into there's a newsworthy element to the question. Oh, my God. This person didn't want to answer that question. The person was answering, I plead the fifth to everything. And that might have been stipulated to ahead of time. I have no idea. But, you know, these questions are so inflammatory. And you could read into them, right? Does Deshaun Watson have a fetish with respect to X and Y? Does Deshaun Watson like it when this is done to him, right? Like, I think it's almost unfair. It's unfair that Busby is the one to leak these because it kind of paints the case in a better light than it should have. But at the end of the day, this person's just responding, I plead the fifth, or no comment to all of the questions. So I think it's kind of a Bush League move by Busby. I know why he did it, but I think it's a little bit of a Bush League move.
So Tony Busby doing things that may or may not be appropriate. What a surprise. This never happens. But in this particular case, you know, it seems to me, and you know, kind of like you said, that the whole purpose of him putting this out there is to, you know, try to throw shade at Deshaun Watson and try to get people to look at Watson as, oh man, he must be guilty. Look, they're saying that they're pleading the fifth. There must be something to hide. But you're saying that's not necessarily the case.
We can't discern that one way or the other, right? If this individual, again, male or female, I don't know, but called me up and I knew what the case was. I go, what benefit do you have to testify in this case? You're a non-party. You're not being sued, right? You're not Deshaun Watson. What is the benefit? I mean, I don't want you to get held in contempt and not appear for a deposition, right? If it's you're under subpoena power, but I don't know. What, you know what I mean? You don't have to help this case. Plead the fifth. And if the judge orders you back for deposition, you deal with it. But I don't think you could read that much into it. And I'm not from Houston. But I see Watson's name trending, right? New York Giants, you know, said that they're not trading for Watson. He's trending there. Brian Flores almost gets a coaching job, and then Watson trends in that particular market. And it's happened 3-4 times in this year or so that we've been dealing with this Watson story. Every time the narrative shifts to where he'll be traded or something relating to football, Busby comes out with a story to bring the public back to, hey, these allegations are really heinous. So I get why he's doing it, but it's like the fourth or fifth time, to me at least, it's getting a little old. We get it, right? There's a risk-reward for trading for the guy, but it's kind of becoming pretty blatant. At least to me, this story, this leak, was very blatant what he was doing.
Hey, it's Dan Lust, the law firm of Gergis & Gergis, noted sports law attorney. Also, sports law professor at New York Law and the host of the Conduct Detrimental podcast with us on the HRMP guest line. So when you see all this stuff that's going on with Watson and the leaks and look, Busby's not even trying to hide that he's leaking. And I mean, Mark Berman's like, hey, I got this from Tony Busby. And look, it's about 6-7 questions long. We don't know what any of the other questions were. We don't know how many questions were asked. There's a lot of things that we don't know. We only know that little snippet piece that Tony Busby, leaked out, to Fox 26. And that's all we have on it. Now, when you see something like that, I guess, you know, what Tony's trying to get us to do is, like you said, say, oh, my goodness, look how horrible, look what they're doing. But in reality, if people are not going to answer his questions, does that make his case harder to prove?
Not necessarily. No. At the end of the day, it's going to come down. We've always said this, right? He said, she said type deal, right? So the only people that really matter, right, are Deshaun Watson and the individuals that were directly in that room. And maybe, you know, if these accusers spoke to someone or had some kind of contemporaneous, called a friend or called someone really close in time, you know, that's going to be relevant. I imagine they could make their case without these peripheral people. You know, why is Tony Busby doing what he's doing? I think to kind of create this narrative, hey, there are people around Deshaun Watson who are worried about potential criminal liability. It's right. He's kind of painting this narrative over here. I think the other way I view this, and Pat, maybe more to your question, there are, I'm sure, I haven't, you know, we're not going to know as the outside public, right, who's going to be brought in for deposition names and whatnot. I imagine there are other non-party depositions that are going to be taken. And those are, again, not accusers, not necessarily Deshaun Watson, but people in and around, in and around the case. If there are other non-party depositions, I imagine they will probably go this route too, right? Why wouldn't you plead the fifth? Why wouldn't you just try to get out of it? And I think Busby will try to paint the picture that, hey, all these people around Watson are all of a sudden clamming up. This looks like he's going to get charged with a crime. And again, kind of forcing that narrative on Watson and trying to force him to settle. From what I'm at least sensing, Pat, I know lots been made that Watson's deposition is scheduled for after the Super Bowl. A lot of cases settle on the trial, on the courthouse steps right before trial. A lot of cases settle right before deposition. So, you know, again, he's applying the leverage right as we're getting closer to Watson's deposition. And again, I smell it a mile away. I imagine other people are as well.
That's something I think, you know, that's something I would not have thought about, and something a lot of people wouldn't have thought about is, you know, it's, hey, if we're getting close to Watson getting to the deposition, is that a time that a lot of cases settle, a lot of cases get talked about? Well, we're what, 2 weeks away from that? So it's that's an interesting timeline as that comes out. So
so I guess I'll leave you with this, Pat. I think it's, I mean, if I'm Watson's camp, I just saw Tony Busby leak a deposition where nothing was said. Literally, the answer was nothing. Was I plead the fifth? I'd be concerned if I'm Watson's camp that Busby is going to leak portions of my transcript, right? Good, bad, ugly, whatever they are. Busby is leaking things to the media left and right. So that's a decision Watson's going to have to make, right? Have you passed the point of no return if you answer those questions truthfully at a deposition, right? The issue of consent, non-consent, then it starts to get very murky. And then maybe teams, maybe teams don't want to touch you at that point. So, yeah, I would be concerned at that if I'm Watson's camp. I don't trust Tony Busby at this point.
So this is like this is a deliberate strategy.
He's like it.
For Busby, this is a very deliberate strategy to ask these, like, really direct, blue questions about, what he likes, what he wants, all this type of stuff. This is something he's deliberately trying to do to, I guess, make people uncomfortable and then try to play a media game. And that was his game. The start was, playing the media game. And, every day we got Tony Busby. We got a daily update on what he's doing with Deshaun Watson. All right, today we got one girl. Today we got three girls. Today we got two more. Today we got five more. And how it just seemed to go on for, 6 weeks in a row of daily Busby updates.
I think that's what he's trying to do here. And again, it's not really speculation. We know that Busby was the leak. Right? That appears to be the report. I'm telling you as an attorney, there is no, at least from the excerpt we saw, there is nothing substantive in the response. But Busby, again, has people talking about the wrong side of the Deshaun Watson. So if you're a Texans fan, you want this case to be done with. Maybe there's a version that says, okay, Busby is trying to force this towards a resolution. But then there's the other part of it as a Texans fan that should probably be annoyed at Busby because he's making this risk-reward tolerance for any trading partner, be it the Panthers or the Washington football team or the Broncos. They're making it that much, and maybe it's effective lawyering, right? Maybe it's effective, for his client. But he's making that much less of a return, I think, for the Texans. Right? Teams aren't going to want to touch this guy. It's almost becoming like a toxic asset. So, yeah, Busby, I think he's moving the needle, for better or worse. I think he is moving the needle in these trade conversations.
He's Dan Luss, noted sports law attorney with Garrigus in New York City, sports law professor at New York Law, host of the Conduct Detrimental podcast, where sports and law collide. Follow him on Twitter at Sports Law Lust. Dan, really appreciate all your insight and all the knowledge. I mean, lots of great stuff. Every time I talk to you, I learn something. Appreciate you joining us tonight, brother. We'll talk soon.
My pleasure, Pat. Anytime. Have a good weekend.
Hi, Dan Lust. Garrigus on the HRNP guest line. A few things to unpack in all of that. We'll get into all that next. Late hits.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, I'm going to take a second here to tell you about Dr. Jennifer Joseph and Get Physical RX Physical Therapy. I've been going to see Dr. JJ for about 3 months. And as somebody who's been putting off neck surgery for about 10 years, who's basically lived his life with neck pain and days, sometimes weeks, of not being able to lift my arm, my left arm, not being able to feel things, and my arm goes numb. It has been like a total game changer spending a day each week with Dr. JJ. And everything that she has done to help me just feel better, to not be in pain every day, and be able to sleep at night because, your neck doesn't hurt, your arm doesn't hurt, you can actually rest. That's huge right there. But to have the range of motion on my neck, be able to turn, to get the strength back in my arm, to be able to not worry about, my arm, I'm not able to lift my arm for 3 days, or my arm's going to feel numb for a week. I actually get to have a normal life. And that's because of Dr. Jennifer Joseph and Get Physical RX. She's really helped me to feel better, to get my strength back, get my range of motion back, remove the pain. She can do that for you too. go see Dr. JJ. She's got a brand new facility in North Houston. Give her a call, 346-386-6683. 346-386-6683. Or go online, getphysicalrx.com. Getphysicalrx.com. So we just talked with Dan Lust from Garrigus & Garrigus, and he was kind of breaking down some of the different things regarding what's going on with Deshaun Watson and, you know, Tony Busby, why Tony Busby is leaking all this stuff, you know, what his angle is, what the point is. And he mentioned, you know, Deshaun Watson's not scheduled to give his deposition until right after the Super Bowl. And apparently, right before, quote, the defendant would be making his deposition, apparently is a time where a lot of cases get settled. So maybe this is Tony Busby trying to, you know, apply pressure, knowing that Deshaun's going to testify, well, give a deposition. Let's get the right words. Deshaun is going to give his deposition in approximately 2 weeks. We'll say 2.5 weeks because this is championship weekend. So Super Bowl's 2 weeks away. So it's right after the Super Bowl. So let's say 2.5 weeks. Put pressure on him. Hey, if you want to settle, meet my numbers. You know, all the others, there's 18, 20 people who are willing to settle. There's two who aren't. They want more money. Meet the number. Otherwise, you know, like you heard Dan say, I'm going to ask you some really direct, very sexualized questions. And whatever you answer, I'm going to leak to Mark Berman at Fox 26. And then not only will it be in Pro Football Talk, it'll be on CNN. It'll be on Fox News. How much do you want that? And is it like dirty pool? Yeah. Now, I don't know that it's, you know, Dan didn't say that it's, you know, something that's going to get you, you know, kicked out of the bar. But he did say it's, you know, the ethics on this are, they're questionable. They're shady. Maybe it's not illegal, but it's definitely inappropriate. But that doesn't mean he's not going to do it. And obviously there's a lot of money on the line. And if you've got 22 people and they settle for $100,000 each, well, that's $2.2 million. Tony Busby gets a third of that. That's a nice payday. Because, you know, Tony Busby's taking this stuff on contingency. He's getting at least a third, maybe 40%. So, you know, $2.2 million, 40%. That's like $1 million. Not to mention all the FaceTime with the camera he keeps getting. But I thought that was a very interesting insight from Dan. Because, again, this to me was the risk the Texans took when they didn't trade him at the deadline. Because if you trade him at the deadline, he's somebody else's problem. Somebody else has to pay him all the money. Somebody else has to deal with the headaches. Somebody else gets to talk about Tony Busby and not us. And if maybe you couldn't get 3 ones and 3 threes, but if you could have got 2 ones and 2 threes, why didn't you sell? Because now you can't do anything until March 16th. And a lot of things can happen between now and March 16th. Right? There's a possibility he could get indicted. And if he gets indicted on the commissioner's exempt list, he goes. Or maybe there's no decision. Maybe it's just hanging over his head. And nobody wants to make that move because there's too much uncertainty. And we still have no idea if Deshaun Watson is willing to waive his no-trade clause to go anywhere other than Miami, or if he's even still willing to go to Miami. We have no idea. And maybe realistically it doesn't matter until the legal stuff is squared away. But by not trading him at the deadline, even if it wasn't going to be for everything they wanted, they've left themselves in this limbo where they're literally playing a game of roulette with the court system. Right? It's like, all right, Lanzon Reddy's indicted, Ranzon Black, he's not. And you're hoping the, you know, lands on the color of your choice. And then you got to deal with Tony Busby and all the civil stuff. And then you got to deal with Roger Goodell. Don't forget, Roger Goodell suspended Ezekiel Elliott for 6 games when the woman who accused him admitted to lying. He was fully exonerated. And he still got 6 games because, as the courts have reinforced, Roger Goodell has, quote, broad powers to essentially do whatever the hell he pleases. So for those people thinking, oh, he'll get 6 games. Maybe he'll get less than 6 games. You're drinking hard. Zeke was exonerated with one woman and got 6 games. Deshaun has 22 women. And he's certainly not going to get exonerated. Might settle, but it's not going to be exonerated. We have no idea what punishment lies ahead for Deshaun Watson. We have no idea. If he only got 6 games, it would be a damn miracle. All right, coming up next, we're going to wrap up. Billy Wagner had something to say about who should and shouldn't be eligible for the Hall of Fame. And soft players or bad fans? Next.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Fun Sports. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, home stretch. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. So, former Astros star Billy Wagner. I would say former Mets star too, but, you know, we're in Houston. Nobody cares about the Mets and the Phillies. Former Astros star Billy Wagner. A guy that I think should be in the Hall of Fame. Told the New York Post, if you're caught and proven without a doubt and you're suspended, I don't know why you're on the ballot. But asked about players who used PEDs. Now, notice his words. If you're caught, proven without a doubt, and suspended, why are you on the ballot? Now, the guys who are in question there, Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez. Those guys are on the ballot. They were caught. They were suspended multiple times each. Wagner said, I understand A-Rod was one of the greatest players I ever played against. And when all that stuff changes, you just have a hard time. You go, why? You were already great. For whatever reason, I don't think it's fair that PED users get to enjoy what guys who did it the correct way are forced to deal with. Here is my issue with that. Using PEDs didn't make you a Hall of Famer. If I give you the list of guys who were named in the Mitchell report, how many of these players do you think, well, they were only they'd only have a shot at the Hall of Fame because of PEDs. Like they weren't normal, they wouldn't have been good enough without them. We're talking about Marvin Bernard as a Hall of Famer or Bobby Estalella or Jeremy Giambi, Armando Rios, Randy Velarde, Chad Allen, Larry Bigby, Mark Carrion, Jack Cust, Chris Donalds. Hey, Lenny Dykstra. Ryan Franklin. Jerry Hairston Jr. Matt Hergis. Todd Hundley. Here's some guys who are pretty close, right? David Justice. Chuck Knoblauch. Kevin Brown. Paul Aduka. Hoseas One Testicle Manzanillo. Wear a cup. He took a comebacker to the nethers and lost one of his boys. Still didn't wear a cup, by the way. Anybody think Kent Merker or Hal Morris or Denny Nagel? I love Andy Pettit, but Andy Pettit is Hall of Very Good. F.P. Santangelo. Mo Vaughn, doesn't quite make the cut. Great player, doesn't make the cut. Rondell White, Greg Zahn. Using steroids didn't make guys who are Hall of Famers Hall of Famers. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are Hall of Famers. Manny Ramirez is a Hall of Famer. Alex Rodriguez is a Hall of Famer. Now, there's nothing wrong with having an exhibit in the Hall of Fame, the steroid era, and that's where you put them all. You want to tell the story of baseball? Tell the story of baseball. But, you know, baseball doesn't have a failed test from Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds never got suspended. Hell, you can even... And I don't know why nobody ever makes this argument, but Major League Baseball didn't have a steroid policy until 2004. How are you a cheater if there was no rule to break? You know, from the 30s to the 70s, guys took uppers and downers left and right. Called them greenies. Guys were on amphetamines. I mean, not to mention cocaine. But guys were on amphetamines to be able to play better. Nobody has a problem with any of this. Amphetamines are performance-enhancing drugs. To me, the greatest players all belong. Now, how you tell the story, that's up to baseball how you tell the story. If you want to tell the story as, you know, during this era, it was the Wild West when it came to PEDs, then say baseball didn't care. Because Bud Selig knew about steroids in 94. Baseball knew about steroids back in the 80s. Baseball knew these guys were on steroids. They didn't tell them to stop. They gave them big contracts for hitting home runs. They told them, hey, you know what? We're going to build a whole new marketing campaign. Chicks dig the long ball. Keep hitting them dingers. We had all the positive press in baseball with all the home run chases, the home run records. Now what do we got? We got PEDs. We got cheaters. We got sign stealing. We got a lockout. Where's the good story in baseball? Hey, you know what? Let's talk about this great Hall of Fame class. Oh, wait. Baseball is its own worst enemy. They greenlit steroids. They wanted guys to take steroids because they wanted home runs. They built their marketing around the home runs. They gave the guys who took the steroids record contracts. And then after Congress came and put their foot down and said, you need to clean up your sport, all those guys who saved your ass, pariahs. The hypocrisy of baseball. And this is why I don't agree with Billy Wagner. You know, baseball told all the players, hey, we're going to do, quote, random testing, which clearly wasn't random because they leaked everybody's name. We do random testing, and over 100 players tested positive. If they didn't tell the players, like 80% of the league would have tested positive. So it's not like, oh, only this handful of super elite players were using steroids. Everybody was using steroids. Nobody gives a damn when Marvin Bernard uses steroids. The first guy to get popped for steroids was Alex Sanchez. He's 5'8 and 160 pounds. He's a backup outfielder. Nobody cared. Jack Cuss tested steroids. Guy was in the majors for a blip. Phil Hyatt tested positive. You don't even know who that is. And this is why, to me, the whole PD thing of, oh, well, this guy's a cheater. You can't cheat if there's no rule to break. McGuire had Andro in his locker in 98. That's how I started using Andro in 98. It wasn't illegal. You went and got it at GNC. But now they go back and they say, oh, you cheated. If that's cheating, if you can go back and ex post facto that is cheating. Look, it wasn't a crime when you did it, but we made it a crime 10 years later, so now we're going to go back and prosecute you. That's illegal in this country in the actual court of law. But that's what they've done. And this is why, you know, why does baseball have trouble attracting a younger audience? Because all they do is push negative stories. I didn't even get to talk about how pillow Charmin soft Carmelo Anthony is because some fan yelled at him during a game. He had them thrown out. You soft, soft baby. Did your fee wings get hurt? Big old baby. Big thanks to Alan Bell, CBS Sports Line, Dan Lust, Garrigus and Garrigus, Andrew Carlson on the other side of the glass. Appreciate everybody who joined us today, callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. Back on Monday night, no A&M coaches show on Monday, so we're on at 7. Have a great weekend. H-Town!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.